This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Saturday night get-together here on CBS Sports Radio. Jody Mack coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to either purchase a new home or refinance your current one, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions to fit your life, Rocket can. All right, we're rocketing down the end of a Major League Baseball season. 2 weeks left to go, or just right about thereabouts. We will break it all down with you for the next 15 minutes with one of the best in the business. He covers all of MLB on a national basis for the New York Times. Tyler Koepner jumps aboard here with me on CBS Sports Radio. Hello, Tyler. How you been, bud?
All right, Jody, how are you?
Very good. I know you've been on the judge watch the last couple of days. He got to 60. Ty Babe Ruth, for the second most all-time in the American League, still needs one more. The odds say he's going to get it, but it's been a couple of days, and they're both pitching around him, and he seems to be, in my estimation, maybe feeling it a little bit. I know his manager came out afterwards, said that's not the case, no worries whatsoever. You buy in, or do you think he's feeling the pressure of 61?
I think he has to be feeling it on some level. He didn't talk after the game today. But you know, he usually seems perfectly fine and composed when he speaks with us. But on the field is where you see the real story. I think he seems to be missing a lot of fastballs. You know, like a lot of fastballs right down the middle, the guys are challenging him on, and he's fouling them right back. So, you know, maybe he's right on him, but, you see a lot of pitches these last, you know, 2-3 games where you would think those are the kind of pitches he would destroy and do some real damage on. But, he's fouling them back. He's just missing. So maybe it started to get to him a little bit today. The time is definitely on his side. He's got a lot of games left to get 2 home runs.
Right. Get 1 for a tie and 2 to set the new American League record. And I got to give Yankee fans credit. Any ball that isn't in the strike zone that's thrown to them, they're booing the opposing pitcher, which I think is great. Adds a little fun, adds a little drama to it. He should be able to get this one. Is his chase for 61/62 helping the Yankees or hurting the Yankees as a team? They're pretty locked in. They're going to win the East. They're going to have the second best record. They're not catching the Astros. And what effect is it having, if any, on the Yankees right now?
Oh, I think it's positive. I mean, they've won their last 5 games. You know, since he got to 59 in Milwaukee, they've swept this homestand so far with 1 game left. Against Pittsburgh and Boston, not great teams, but you got to beat who's in front of you. So,
yep.
They've been doing pretty well. I think you know Judge is very popular. He's very much the leader of that team. So, I think they're all really rooting for him to do it. And in the meantime, you know, you got game where Gleyber Torres hits 2 home runs in an inning, and then today where Rizzo steps up right after Judge and hits a big home run, and you had Stanton hitting the grand slam the other night to win it. So right. Donaldson got a walk-off hit. So they're all kind of contributing, and Judge's too. You know, he had a game with a couple of doubles, and he's been on base all the time. So things have stabilized a little bit in New York after a really, really long, basically a 3-month stretch where they were under 500.
Understood. Do the Yankees know who will be pitching for them in the first game of their next series, which will be in the second round of the playoffs? after Gerrit Cole. We assume Cole's going to get the opening nod for game number one. Do they know who the other four pitchers, three pitchers are going to be and what order they're going to put them in?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, Cole's been giving up a lot of home runs. You know, Boone has had to really defend him lately. But, you know, he's still their ace. And you've got Cortez and you've got Severino and Tyone, I think, you know, would be the other starters you would use in a short series. I think that's probably how it shakes out. Now Domingo Germán's done a decent job, but I think he would be the fifth guy in that mix.
Fair enough. Let's take a look at the other team that isn't going to have to play in the first round of the playoffs. That would be the Astros. I got to admit, Tyler, I thought they were a good team. I thought they'd be a playoff team when the year started. Best team in the American League, didn't buy that. How have they kind of flown under at least my radar and probably some others? I hope I'm not the cheese stands alone here. How have the Astros been as good as they've turned out to be?
Yeah, I think some of it is just, you know, that we've seen them. They've been good for so long now that not that you kind of take it for granted, but you just sort of understand that it's part of this is part of baseball right now. The Astros are in this stretch where they're, you know, always really good, really tough. And so they probably don't get enough recognition for how much they've changed during this run. You know, they lost Carlos Correa over the offseason, we all know, to the Twins in that big contract. And you know, Peña stepped in there and done a nice job at shortstop. And, you know, they lost Springer a couple years ago. And they've had, you know, big losses along the way, Gerrit Cole and Charlie Morton. But they have this pitching pipeline that has been just so productive. I mean, you know, Framber Valdez has been outstanding, and Verlander is going to win the Cy Young, it looks like. Luis Garcia has been really good, and Jose Urquidy, and McCullers is back. So they just, Christian Javier. So they just have so many big arms in that rotation and even in the bullpen that they just, you know, they can just dominate teams or in a regular season setting. And you know, they're going to be clearly the favorite in the American League going into the postseason.
Tyler Kepner of the New York Times, our guest, talking the upcoming MLB playoff. Yeah, we got 2 weeks in the season left to go. Yes, we're watching Aaron Judge to see if he gets 61 and 62, but we know the playoffs are just in the offing. But finishing off the regular season, one of the highlights of certainly this year and maybe the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years was last night with Albert Pujols hitting two home runs in L.A., where he had played last year, where he said he got re-inspired to finish off his career, and he's done so on a hot streak with St. Louis. How feel-good a story is Albert getting 700?
It's really remarkable because he was, he really looked washed up and done early last season when the Angels released him. It seemed like that was it. And then the Dodgers picked him up and revitalized him a little. But even with St. Louis, in the first half, he wasn't doing much. And it seemed impossible that he would get to 700. It seemed like he would finish with, you know, in the 690s somewhere, or, you know, high 680s or something. But this second half is it's just a reminder, Jody, I think, that the all-time greats, they can't do it as often or for as long as they used to, of course, but there's still some greatness in there, and they can, you know, they can find it. They can summon it. And Albert has found it right now. It's not the kind of thing that's going to last, you know, forever. Obviously he's retiring at the end of the year. But it's really neat to see, because Albert, I think for those 9 years, 9 or 10 years in Anaheim, maybe took for granted just how amazing he was in those first 10, 11 years of St. Louis. And so what all this is doing is really reminding us, because he's wearing the St. Louis uniform again, and because he's getting to these crazy numbers, of just how insanely productive he was that first go round in St. Louis. And yeah, he was never the same guy in Anaheim, but he still drove in runs. He still hit the ball over the fence. And now he's really, you know, we're getting to appreciate just what an all-time legend he is.
We're talking to Tyler Kepner. Cardinals going to make the playoffs. We know that. They haven't officially clinched. The Mets, the Braves, the Dodgers have, but the Cardinals are only a couple of games from doing that. They're going to have to play in the wild card round. How much does Pujols doing what he's doing, along with a very good team and kind of a refigured pitching staff, how much of a you don't want to face them come postseason time are these Cardinals right now?
Yeah, they've got a lot of lots to like there. I think you might not love their rotation as much as some other teams, but when you can put Arenado and Goldschmidt in the lineup and the way they catch the ball, it's a very sound team. I think you probably there's not a lot of teams that I think you would like to face in the postseason. I think they all have something good going for them. But the Cardinals, yeah, it's going to be really interesting. You know, if they match up with Philadelphia, that's they're the last team the Phillies faced in the postseason way back when in 2011. So I know some people will be remembering that. It's a chance for revenge for the Phillies, but they might be in the fifth seed too. I mean, San Diego could be in the sixth. So anyway, either way, we're going to have a lot of interesting matchups in that first round. It's going to be. It'll be fun. You know, I love the wild card game. I love the one and done sort of instant elimination games. But I can't wait for this round. I think it's going to be a blast.
All right. You mentioned their starting rotation might not match up against the other teams that look like are postseason bound in the National League. If you are their skipper, how are you lining your pitchers up? They're going to have the division locked up. They're not going to be fighting for a possible buy in the first round, so they're going to be able to put it together any way that they want. How do you think they line up their starters?
Well, I think Adam Wainwright, obviously, is always the guy there. He's just someone who's so reliable and Joe Torre used to talk about guys you trust, you know, like a David Cone type. You know, you just trust Adam Wainwright, no matter how old he is. So he'd be the one I'd want there on the mound because I think he'd figure out a way. But you know, Miles Michaelis has had a nice year, and Quintana's done a real nice job since he's been over there in those 10 starts. Jordan Montgomery's come back to earth a little bit. And obviously they left Jack Flaherty, but he hasn't been that great yet. So I'm not sure. I'd probably start out with Wainwright and Michaelis and then see how the series is going, see if you've needed any of those other guys in the bullpen. It's solid and it could, you know, I think most of these teams, you can see a pathway for success their starters are probably solid enough, to where they don't have to worry too much. The only thing I worry about their starters is they don't strike out a ton of guys. And that seems to be a good formula in the postseason to have those strikeout pitchers, on the mound there.
All right, let's touch on the other NL playoff teams. Phillies, Padres, Brewers. Two out of three are going to make it. One is not. Brewers on the team outside looking in, but they're winning tonight, so they look like they can pick up a game on the Phillies who got beat by the Braves today. Out of those three, who are the two that are going to be left standing and in the postseason?
Well, I think it'll be the Phillies and the Padres just because they have the edge on Milwaukee now. So I think it'd be most likely that they would keep it because Milwaukee, you know, doesn't control its own destiny, as they say. All those teams are flawed, though. You know, the Padres obviously have the big names, but they seem like they're prone to, mysterious kind of lapses. And the Phillies, are hard to figure sometimes. I mean, just when you think that they are, they've got it all together, then they go ahead and lose a few games in a row. So all that said, I still think those teams have enough. Phillies were getting no hit today, and they came off the mat, and they got a few runs there. Harper got a home run. Maybe he's starting to feel it a little bit better. He's been slumping a little bit since he got back. So I think there's more coming from Bryce. There's more coming from Wheeler now that he's back. So I think the Phillies will do enough. I think they have a good leadership in that room with Kyle Schwarber, some veteran guys who've been to the playoffs before to kind of lead the Reese Hoskins types and the younger guys. So I think Philadelphia and San Diego will end up making it, but it's good that we have at least one race and maybe that American League too, because Otherwise, it's sort of just races for seeding, and that's not nearly as fun as actual knockout races.
Right. Well, there is one more left, and that would be the Mets and the Braves in the NL East. Mets have a game and a half lead, one in the loss column as of right now, and those two teams play a three-game set next weekend in Atlanta. Come down to that? Whoever gets that series, certainly if somebody sweeps, it's over and done with. But will two out of three in that series decide who's going to win the NL East?
Very well could. You know, I didn't see the Mets game today because that was the Yankees game, but I listened to it on the ride home, and it sounds like it was DeGrom's worst start in a long time. So I don't know what was really going on there. But, you know, obviously they need him, and they need him in Scherzer. I think it's huge for the Mets to avoid that first round because, you know, you don't want – I feel like there's only so many bullets that Scherzer and DeGrom have, and they're really, really good, really, really quality, but you don't want them to have to make that extra start in that first round, and then you can't really start with them in the second round. So there is definite incentive. You know, both teams are in, but it's I think, a bigger deal than usual to, you know, because you got a series, you got a player, at least two games, and that really – hampers your pitching in the next round.
Oh, yeah. You want to win that division title. That'll be a great series next weekend in Atlanta. All right, last thing. Judge is a lock for the MVP of the American League. You said you think that Justin Verlander's damn close to it as well. So the AL for the two major awards look like they're pretty well decided. Goldschmidt a lock yet or just a heavy favorite? And who's going to win Cy Young in the National League?
Well, I think Sandy Alcantara has the edge. His innings are so far ahead of everybody else's, and that didn't play out last year with the voters. Because if it had, the Wheeler would have won. Wheeler almost won, but he just missed losing to you know, Corbin Burnes, who had a lot fewer innings but was maybe slightly more dominant. I feel like Alcantara's combination, and he has been outstanding. I mean, he doesn't have to apologize for any of his numbers, but the durability that he has shown has just been really refreshing in this you know, day and age when you see so many starters just going five. Alcantara has a different approach, and the Marlins let him use it. So I know he was starting. I think he's starting today. Haven't seen what he did yet, but you know, he's to me, he's been the best pitcher in that league all year long, and you know, he would get my vote for sure. And I'd have to look at it a little bit closer, but I mean, Goldschmidt is, I've been thinking he used the MVP for a long time now. He's had an amazing season, you know, chasing the Triple Crown. Or, you know, if you're going to come close, if you're going to be in the top three or so in all those categories, and then you've got the, you know, the on base and the slugging and all that, and the great defense. You know, I would like to see Goldschmidt win it because he's one of those guys, kind of like Freeman and Arenado, who've just been doing it for a long time. Freeman finally got his MVP in the COVID year, and then he got his championship. And I think, you know, Goldschmidt and Arenado need kind of a career capper because they're both on that Cooperstown track, and it would be good to see someone like Goldschmidt get an MVP and add that to his resume.
Maybe I'm jaded because I've watched the Phillies beat Alcantara basically every time they face him. Whenever I see him pitch, he gets beat. Usually 2-1. He pitches real well but finds a way to lose, or his team finds a way to lose. But I'm in agreement with you. He has been the scariest pitcher in the NL all year, and we'll see if that turns into a Cy Young. Always a pleasure, Tyler. Thank you very much for hopping out with me tonight. I will get you back up when the playoffs get underway. Appreciate it, bud.
All right, Jody, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Let's go Birds tomorrow on Sunday. All right.
They are. They're showing his Philly colors. Mr. New York Times, Tyler Kempner here with me. By the way, overs are locked. They're going to score 60 points between them, just in case you were thinking about playing something. Tyler, good stuff. Thanks, bud.
Thanks, Jody.
Tyler Kempner here with us on CBS Sports Radio. All right, come on back. We can keep the baseball conversation going. We get back into the college football, mix in the golf, whatever it is. Look ahead to week three. Oh, yes, you know I'm already on record. I like the over in the Eagles game. I think the Eagles probably cover. I think they win by touchdown in the 6.5, but I definitely think it's going to be over. I think the Eagles are putting up a 30 spot again, manana. All right, coming back, I'll get you up if you dial on in, 855-212-4227. Join the Mac Man here on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.